And as I say, we will be talking tariffs with Jed Nash of the Labour Party, who's coming into studio. Jed Nash, good morning. Well, the markets took a nosedive yesterday, and as EU, UK and other tariffed nations calibrated their responses to President Trump's Rose Garden announcements, he headed to Florida to watch some golf. At home, the Taoiseach called the US decision on tariffs, including a 20% rate for the EU, good for nobody. He believes Donald Trump is open to negotiation and these need to be given an opportunity. While pharma escaped on Wednesday, he acknowledged it was not yet known if that was temporary. As I say, Jed Nash, Labour Party spokesperson on finance, is here with us. And Jed Nash, as you and others have said, you know, this could end up being a massive act of self-harm by Donald Trump against his own fellow Americans. But while all of that is playing out, you have the issue of the harm it's inflicting on other nations. Do you agree with me, Hall Martin? A time for cool heads, a time for a considered, measured and proportionate response from the European Union.
I absolutely do. And this is a time for European Union solidarity. The last thing we want to see happen is other larger European Union states potentially picking off others. We have been taking a united approach to date. I've been saying all along that the response needs to be measured, it needs to be calibrated, and it absolutely does need to be proportionate. We've seen some attention paid to a perspective offered, it appears, by the French and others over the last couple of days about a move to, for example, digital services taxes. That would be very inimical to Ireland's interests. That's something that we would oppose. Clearly, the European Union is in a dilemma at the moment. On the one hand, the view is that we need to stand up to bullies, but at the same time as well, we need, I think, to take a step back to digest exactly what the implications of Trump's tariffs.
How do we see that off, though? How do we see off a big player within the EU and the big influence of Macron if he wants to push forward with that digital services tax, with that tax on services that would hit our tech sector?
Well, there's a very significant meeting now taking place with foreign affairs and trade ministers in Luxembourg on Monday, and we'll be very much clearer now in terms of what the European perspective and response will be. Clearly, the pharmaceutical industry has had a form of reprieve, but that will only give, I think, a number of weeks of breathing space to try and determine what our response should be. Pharma and food and drink are the big key concerns at the moment, obviously, for Ireland. And people will be asking this morning, and it's interesting how things have moved from the abstract to the real very, very quickly. We've been speculating about what the impact might be over the last few weeks. We now know it is a baseline tariff of 20%. We expect that there's going to be implications for pharma over the next period of time. These are very high-skilled, well-paid jobs that we rely on in this country. And what we don't want to happen is, for example, what happened with construction 15 years ago, where 150,000 skilled workers were lost and we're still paying the price from that point of view. So the question is, in this very unpredictable set of circumstances, what can government do? We've been arguing in the Labour Party for a long, long time now in the context of the various crises that we've experienced, from Brexit
in relation to what can government do, because that really depends on what happens and what the European Union response is. But on this question of negotiation, you know, you seem to share that belief that Donald Trump can be invited into the negotiation table. But will that happen, or are others correct that you've got to hit back and hit back hard at Donald Trump now in terms of tariffs again, that is what he understands?
Well, we have the added problem here that we are not dealing with a good faith actor. Usually when you negotiate with an international leader and with the administration around that leader, you expect in those deals, for example, to be honoured and for people to engage in good faith. But we know from experience that that is often not the case, of course, with Donald Trump. So clearly the European Union needs to keep up its sleeve those, you know, anti-coercion measures, as they've been described, to impact on US services. Because, of course, when we look at the way in which Donald Trump is approaching this over the last period of time, he seems to understand goods and services, tangible things, but he has no concept whatsoever, of the significance of services.
And no interest, it would appear, to listen to explanations of implications.
Well, that's right. So I think there's going to be a staged and phased process over the next period of time. Clearly, the European Union is right in terms of negotiation tactic to keep those sorts of countermeasures that could be very significant in terms of the interaction over the next period up our sleeves. But what we don't need to do at this point in time is press that so-called nuclear option, because that would be inimical to Ireland's interests.
You're a border politician. There's another potential implication for this country and an impact on the Windsor framework. With reciprocal tariffs, Northern Ireland must apply, apparently, EU tariffs on goods coming into Northern Ireland. But they also benefit from the lower tariff imposed on the UK by Donald Trump. We've heard this idea trotted out of you know, cheese manufactured in Newry that was made from milk that has been produced in Monaghan. There are a range of difficulties here that it is hard at this stage to parse and analyse and find out what the implications are.
It is fiendishly complicated. And there's one thing I think that the Oireachtas is united on as well, is that there should be very significant engagement with the Northern Executive to ensure that the interests of the North and the island more generally is looked after and focused on. We thought these fiendishly complicated problems had passed with the Windsor framework. Nobody anticipated the kind of response that we've seen from President Trump and this usurping and upending of the established global world economic order. And it's important then to try to frame what happens next. And the European Union, of course, is a very, very powerful agent and has the resources and the power and the influence. We are members, of course, in our country, of the richest trading bloc in the entire world. So we are not without agency and power here. So we have influence. It is important that we do step back, digest what happened, and actually have a very carefully calibrated response.
And after the tumult in the Dáil over the last few months, are we talking green jersey time now?
Anytime we see Irish jobs and Irish interests, more generally business interests, and in fact the economic model that we in Labour, for example, have contributed as well over many generations in developing something that's very, very important for jobs and business, when we see it under threat, there is a national interest question here. So over the last couple of days, as I said, when we've moved from the abstract to the real, people are asking, well, potentially what can government do in the context of this very unpredictable set of circumstances to actually assist people in their jobs and businesses. We have been arguing for a long, long time, as I was saying at the outset, for example, for a German-style short-time work scheme to assist jobs and businesses during times of tumult. Responses that could be customised for certain sectors. We know that farm is in the firing line. We know that food and drink is in the firing line. And we know that when we emerge from this, and we will, we need to have a strong food and drink sector, and we need a strong pharmaceutical sector as well. So what does that mean? That means actually using that Labour Party idea that's now supported, by the way, by IBEC in their statement the other night, to ensure that during times of shock, sector-specific shocks, keep people close to the jobs that they are in. If they need to go in short time, there's state supports to keep them in work and to keep those skills fresh and to ensure that people are retraining if it's a case that they are not working full-time. Because what we want to avoid happen is mass redundancies in any sector.
All right.
Because these pharma and food and drink are important sectors that we need to ensure we retain, and we need to retain those skills.
All right, Labour Party spokesman on finance, Jed Nash, thank you for coming into us this morning.